Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. John. Yakashchanesho balinon kurargat.
Yakashchanesho balinon kurargat.
Prachanda vegad. Abhidavato Brisham. Bitam prapannam paripati yad bhayam. Mrityu pradhavat yaranam tamimahi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him full protection. For even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him the great and powerful supreme authority who is the actual shelter of everyone. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is intelligent understands that there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. The Lord appears in his various incarnations for two purposes: to annihilate the duskriti, the sinful, and to protect his devotees. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto him. This is intelligent. One must know that the great supreme personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence this supreme authority, the supreme person. In the Shruti mantra it is said, Vishashmad vata pavate, Vishodeti surya, Vishashmad agnish chandras cha, Mrityur dhabati panchama, Taittiriya Upanishad. It is out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing, that the sun is distributing heat and light, and that death is chasing everyone. Thus, there is a supreme controller, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material manifestation is working so well because of the supreme controller. Any intelligent person, therefore, can understand that there is a supreme controller. Furthermore, the Supreme Controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramchandra to give us instructions and to show us by example how to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet those who are duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. Namam duskritanor mudha prapadyante naradama. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Mrityu sarvaharash chaham, I am all-devouring death. This mrityu, or death, is the representative who takes everything away from the living entity who has accepted a material body. No one can say, I do not fear death. This is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. However, one who seeks shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be saved from death. One may argue, does the devotee not die? The answer is that a devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. The difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. This is assured in Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. A devotee, after giving up his body, does not accept a material body, but returns home, back to Godhead. We are always in danger, because at any moment, death can take place. It is not that only Gajendra, the king of elephants, was afraid of death. Everyone should fear death, because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle of existence in this material world, in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him, the great and powerful Supreme Authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, entitled The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. Text 33. This particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is deeply instructive on many of the most critical principles required to understand to make real spiritual advancement. Among the lessons we learn here. Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo nevidyate. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato maya. That any progress we make in the path of pure bhakti, it is never lost. It is eternal. And Krishna is so kind that any sincere effort anyone makes to serve him and to please him, Krishna will never forget. Even if one falls into an abominable condition due to previous conditionings, misuse of independence, or the power of material energy, still, Krishna's waiting. Just as Srila Prabhupada spoke to one of my god brothers who had fallen quite sadly into sinful activities. Other devotees condemned him, criticized him, did not want to go near him. But Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. Because you have once chanted the holy name of Krishna sincerely, Krishna will be for thee. He will be there for you. And at the most critical moment, he will be there to save you. And it actually happened. That just before his death, he transformed and completely surrendered to Krishna with all humility and devotion. Whatever efforts we make in this world will be evaporated by time. You make money, you lose money. You get fame, you lose fame. Whatever you get will be lost forever. That's the power of time. But any advancement we make in Krishna consciousness, just sweeping the floor, just appreciating another devotee for what they have done, just putting a single flower on the string of a garland, just chanting the holy name once sincerely, the benefit is never lost. It is forever. It's always there for us. It is the only secure investment. In the stock market, banks, various financial enterprises, they try to convince you of secure investment. But it is all an illusion. Mrityu sarvasharashjaham. Because everything will be taken away. At the time of death, or many other situations that may happen in between, it is for certain. We lose everything. There are only two things that are certain in this world. Absolutely certain. One is anyone who is born will die. That is absolutely certain. Two, any investment we make in bhakti is never, ever lost. Even at death, in our next life, all of our credits are there at our disposal to carry on. So what is the greatest investment we could make? This is the intelligence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die, he understood this. In 7 days, his empire, his body, his youth, his family, all of his wealth was going to be stripped away from him, and there was nothing he could do. But he was happy, peaceful, grateful, because he knew what was really valuable. He had 7 full days to hear about Krishna and achieve the perfection of life. The Vaishnavacharyas often cite Maharaj Katvanga. He fought gallantly. He was a king. And the devotees were so pleased. Ask any benediction. What benediction would you ask for if the demigods were offering you anything of your desire? He understood what's valuable. He said, I just want to know how long I have until I die, because I want to prepare myself for that. They checked the karmic records of destiny. You have 1 minute left. He didn't go into some traumatic crisis. He was grateful. I know what I have to do. In that minute, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the all-beautiful, all-merciful object of his love, Krishna. And he attained supreme perfection. He gained entrance into the spiritual world in that moment. Gajendra, this elephant, in his previous life, was a king named Indrajumna, who lived in the Pandya district of the Dravida Desh of South India. And after performing his worldly duties, he retired from his material life and went to the forest. His hair became matted. He wore simple clothes of a mendicant and simply practiced focusing his attention on God. One day in his hermitage, he was so deeply absorbed in meditating on Krishna that he was not aware. Angira Muni, a great sage, had come to his hermitage with many of his disciples. Now, the Muni, he was not really concerned, but he had his disciples and he wanted to see some culture from this person. The basis of civilization, especially in the Vedic standard, is hospitality. We find in Mahabharata, even enemies give hospitality to their enemies if they come to their home. If one does not show proper hospitality, one is considered very fallen. It's actually considered one of the greatest offenses. What to speak of hospitality to a great sage, even hospitality to a stranger who you've never seen before. Maharaj Ranti Dev, he was willing to sacrifice his life to show hospitality to some dogs and their keeper, a chandala. Hospitality is sacred. And in our homes, in our temple, this should be foundational as far as priorities. Srila Prabhupada explained how we should be conscious. He said, every single guest that comes to our temple, we should see them that they are personally invited by Radha and Krishna, their special guest. We are not the proprietors. We are simply the servant of the servant of the servant. If we think this is my temple, that is illusion. We're just caretakers. Servant of the servant of the servant. Whoever comes through these gates, Radha Gopinath in their heart has personally invited them. And how we should welcome them with such love, affection, care, consideration. And when people receive such hospitality, their hearts open. It's like our Sankirtan Prabhu. People who nobody else could reach. Sometimes very proud people, very big people. Somehow or other, they come once and he gives them such hospitality. They've never seen anyone like him. I know one person just made a film for Disney. And the film that they made for Disney, in 1 month, they made that film grossed $65 million. Not rupees, dollars. 1 month. Now, this is a very, very high-powered managing person. Said, she told me, if I could, if he would do it, I would hire Sankirtan to be my manager. So there's nobody like him. He doesn't know management, as far as I know. He just sits there and smiles. And he talks so gentle, most people don't even know what he's saying. But he really cares. He really tries to make people feel welcome at home, and they give their hearts to him. They'll give him telephone numbers. You could reach me anytime, anywhere. And that's how Prabhupada established our society, on the basis of hospitality. When he started that storefront in the Lower East Side of New York City, most people couldn't even understand his Bengali accent. But he welcomed everyone. It was Krishna's love. It was Krishna's concern manifesting through. And they were willing to believe anything he said and do anything he said. They never wanted to leave him. Of that love. So perhaps the most powerful form of preaching to really open people's hearts to receive this great message, to inspire people to chant the holy names, is hospitality. Well, in Dujumana, he wasn't very good at hospitality. And this great rishi, he wanted to show people that hospitality is very important.
He was absorbed in meditating on the Lord like this. And he didn't even know what was happening around him.
So the Rishi became very angry.
I've come to your home. I brought my disciples. And like a stupid dead animal, you're just sitting there. You haven't welcomed me. You haven't given me a mat. Haven't given me water. Haven't even said kind words. Because you're sitting there, dumb like an animal, I curse you to become a dumb animal in the form of an elephant.
Now, elephants, Prabhupada explains, they're very big and they're very strong, but not very intelligent. If you've seen elephants, I have with my own eyes seen elephants in South India, Guruvayur, just wrap their trunk around a tree and then go and just literally rip the tree right out of the ground with its roots and then throw it. And then look around to see if any female elephants were watching. Any female elephants were watching, then he just goes and picks up and uproots another one. So like this, very strong. But years ago when I was living in Mithila or Janakpur, in where Sita married Ram, in those days the main conveyance for cargo was elephants. They did not have lorries or trucks. So I would see these gigantic Nepali male elephants with massive tusks, huge. And there'd be a little boy sitting on his head. Arms about this thick. Maybe 10 years old. And he has a little stick. They call it goad. He's got a little stick. And he's shouting at the elephant. And he hits the elephant with this little stick. And the elephant... he totally obedient to this little child. Now, factually, if the elephant wanted to, he could just take his trunk, throw that little child down, and with one stomp of his foot, crush him into a puddle. But the elephant's thinking that if I don't obey this child, he's going to stick me with this stick. And therefore, the elephant will just be carrying massive loads on his back for miles and miles and miles, going wherever that, taking whatever the child wants him to take, going wherever the child wants him to go. Because he has a huge, gigantic, strong body, but his intelligence isn't very good. He's forgetful of his own power. So that is nature of elephant. When Indrajumna Maharaj was cursed to become a stupid animal, he was grateful because he was a devotee. A devotee understands that any setback that may come in their lives is always under the control of the Supreme Lord. And if we simply carry on with our devotional service patiently and with a grateful heart, that setback will be transformed into a blessing.
whatever it may be.
Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagvam. Srila Prabhupada often quotes this verse. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. Being a Vaishnava is not about signing your name on the book before Mangalarti. That's not all. It's not about the kind of tilak you wear or the kind of beads around your neck or the kind of clothes you may put on. Vaishnava is based on our character. And what is the character of a true Vaishnava?
Even when great difficulties arise, impediments, setbacks, disturbances, intrusions, when they come into our life with folded palms, we welcome them. With grateful heart, actually, I deserve worse. This is only a token by the grace of Krishna. And if simply I carry on with my devotional service patiently and take shelter of the Lord in this situation, then it is my greatest fortune. The tendency of everyone in this world is to become complacent. Even our devotional activities are so prone to become routine. We chant our rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We make sure the beads go down in order. Sometimes we're more concerned with the counting beads than we are with the japa beads. We're meditating more on our counting beads than the beads that of our japa mala. Or sometimes we come to the Mangalarti because, you know, people will think we're nice if we go. Or Krishna may think we're nice if we go. It becomes routine. Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever our service may be. But complacency is an enemy. Nothing is just routine. Krishna receives the intensity of our hearts. That is what he's looking for. And therefore, when setbacks come, they may come in the form of tragedy. They may come in the form of relationship problems. They may come in the form of being attacked. They may come in the form of failure or health crisis. There's unlimited ways that setbacks come into our lives. But in that situation, it's an opportunity to really wake up. As Gaurvani Prabhu was singing last night, he was, wake up sleeping souls. You are sleeping on the lap of Maya. Wake up doesn't mean just become a devotee. Wake up means to take shelter of Krishna. Because factually, in every situation, the crocodile of suffering and death is imminent. One who takes shelter of the Lord when difficulties come, that person alone is liberation, the supreme liberation, his or her rightful claim. So Indrajumana Maharaj, He offered his obeisances to the sage. He didn't try to make excuses. Actually, he was completely innocent. He did nothing wrong. It's not that he was just getting some sinful reaction. He was meditating on Krishna. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what sages are supposed to teach you to do. They're supposed to be happy that you're meditating on Krishna. But he was so much absorbed in Krishna, he didn't even know the sage was there. He made no offense whatsoever. But he was blasphemed by this great Muni, who said, "You are an ignorant, you are dull, you are not gentle." He was criticizing him horribly. And then he cursed him to be an animal. Here was a sage. The last part of his life, he's trying to perfect it by meditating on Krishna. And instead of getting that, going back, he was preparing to go back to Godhead at the dusk of his life. And right at that moment, he's misunderstood and cursed to become an animal. That's a setback. But he understood that not a blade of grass could move without the sanction of Krishna. Krishna's plan. And he accepted it wholeheartedly. And now here he is, an elephant. Another lesson of this great story is padam padam yadvipadam natesham. Whoever we are, there is danger at every step in this world. There is no exception. The story begins by talking about Trikuta Mountain, which is in the ocean of milk. It's a heavenly abode. It is so beautiful. The weather is always perfect. The water is crystal clear. The flowers are ambrosial in their fragrance, and the fruits are like nectar. The greatest of the demigods go there for vacation.
Hare Krishna.
They don't go to, where do you go on vacation from Bombay? Huh? Lonavala? Lonavala? No demigods you'll find there. Mahabaleshwaram, no demigods will go there. But this is heavenly abode. It's absolutely beautiful. There are pages and pages of the Bhagavatam describing the beauty and the peace of this place. And Gajendra is the king of the elephants. The lions, the tigers, the poisonous snakes, they fear him. When he comes down the pathways, they all run away. And the other more dependent animals, they feel totally 100% protected by him and offer him all respect. He's the undisputed king of a heavenly abode. There's no suffering there, it appears. And it was just a regular day where he was enjoying like anything. He had many female elephants with him and his children. And then there were all of his subjects and his servants and his friends, family members. They would all go with him. He was guiding them, and he smelled this fragrance, a crystal, transparent, clear lake where there were so many lotus flowers, and the pollen of those lotus flowers permeated the entire forest with a fragrance. Induced by that scent, he brought his family to that lake. Can you imagine what nectar that water was? He went in the water, he took his bath, he drank that water with his trunk. Then he began to splash with his trunk his wives and his children, and they were so happy. It was just a wonderful, wonderful holiday. At the least expected moment, suddenly a crocodile with his powerful jaws and razor sharp teeth grasped the leg of Gajendra. Very painful. Gajendra was fighting. Crocodile was very strong. They fought for 1,000 years. Gajendra would drag him out of the water. The crocodile would drag Gajendra in the water. They were just going in and out of the water, in and out of the water. Gajendra was getting really tired because in the water there was no food for him, but the crocodile is accustomed to the water, so he was getting nourished. So the crocodile was getting stronger and stronger, and Gajendra was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Gajendra turned to his family members, turned to his friends, turned to his own physical strength and intelligence. Nothing worked. He was on the verge of death. And Srila Prabhupada is here explaining the crocodile of death in the form of time is everywhere, ready to consume everyone in due course. One who is aware of that, we're already in that mouth of the crocodile. It's not a matter of waiting till it happens. We come out of our complacency. When Gajendra was completely helpless, at that point, Krishna in his heart reminded him of his previous devotional activities. Reminded him of the prayers that he had learned in taking shelter of the Lord. And in this verse today, Gajendra is beginning his beautiful prayers of surrender. Another very important aspect of this story is it doesn't matter who you are. If we are sincere, we will achieve the ultimate goal of life. Grihetako vanetako. Whether we're a grihasta or a brahmachari or sannyasi, just chant the holy name with feeling and you will become perfect. Aho bata swapacho togariyam yav jiva grevartate nabatubyam. Even if you're a dog eater, doesn't matter. Whatever our physical, social position may be, Krishna only sees our sincerity. Srila Prabhupada writes, pure devotional service is very rare. But one who is sincere, serious, and has no ulterior motives, Krishna easily gives it. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, to be specific, Lord Chaitanya uses Gajendra as a powerful example of how to attain perfection. Shall I tell the story? Thank you. It was at the house of Srivas in Navadvip Dham. Every night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring his most loving associates for Nam Sankirtan. But these kirtans were so full of bhakti ras, devotional sentiments, that an ordinary people would not be able to comprehend it. They could possibly take it as something very cheap. Our acharyas tell us that Srivasangam is the rasa stali of Vrindavan. The kirtans in the house of Srivas and Malini were none different than the rasa lila of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna dancing in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would close and lock all the doors so that no one except the most pure-hearted, loving devotees could enter. One time at Chandrasekhar Bhavan, he said to his devotees, "Tonight I am going to dance in the mood of Radharani, the supreme goddess of fortune." And everyone was really excited. But then he said, "Anyone who has even the slightest tinge of material desires will not be allowed to enter into this pastime of watching me dance." So suddenly all the happiness of the devotees waned into great sadness. They all looked down. Some of them were crying. Great distress. Lord Chaitanya said, "What's wrong?" And they all said, "Well, we won't be able to come because we have so many material desires." This is the nature of a devotee. It's not that they're saying, "Oh, well, that's me. I have no material desires. My ticket is secure." We're speaking about Advaita, Srivas, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu. They're all crying. "I won't be allowed in. I can't come. I have so many material desires." That's the humility of a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you don't come, then nobody will come, and then I have nobody to dance for. So even if you have material desires, you come. but he said this only to the people he knew had no material desires. So at Srivasangam, very strict. There are many stories. And Lord Chaitanya would dance. And all the devotees would sing. There was a brahmachari. Every day, he would humbly plead to Srivas, "Please, O great pundit, allow me just one time to see the great Mahaprabhu dance. This is my cherished, deepest, greatest desire. Just one time, if I could see that dance of love as he's chanting the holy name." But every day Srivas would say, "It is not possible. Lord Chaitanya has personally selected who will come to these kirtans. Even one time I let my mother-in-law, she happened to sneak in, and Lord Chaitanya was very angry. He said, I cannot do it. But this brahmachari, he was sinless, perfectly pious. He had deep sadhana. And he only drank some milk and ate some fruits, would take no other food. Very austere. Again and again, he pleaded with Srivas. Finally, Srivas said, because you are so pure-hearted and you have so much faith in the Lord and you're so austere, you only drink milk, I'll let you in secretly, but you have to hide because if the Lord knows you're there, he will become very angry. So Srivas took the chance. He was so merciful. He actually gave that brahmachari a hiding place. Gauranga Mahaprabhu enters the house, induces all the devotees to begin to the Nam Sankirtan. They are all chanting with such pure love. And Lord Chaitanya danced. The most beautiful manifestation that has ever been revealed in Brahma's creation is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance. We can never fathom the intoxicating experience of seeing that dance. It is the personified love of Sri Radharani for Krishna. He was dancing. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit were so jubilantly dancing in circles around Lord Chaitanya as he was dancing. And Advaitacharya was dancing in all directions, hither and thither, floating on the waves of ecstatic joy. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in this mood of ecstatic love, the devotees were chanting so loudly that absolutely no other sound could be heard anywhere except the loud feeling crying out of the holy name. It was much louder than that. As the devotees were chanting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. The whole kirtan was like a bottomless, shoreless ocean of spiritual joy. And the waves of ecstasy were just pushing everybody to the ultimate limits of bliss. And the brahmachari was hiding and watching it all. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was all-knowing. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto. He's in every heart. There's nothing he does not know. Suddenly, in the middle of this ecstatic kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stops his dance, stops the chanting, and says, I am not feeling ecstatic love today. Someone must be here that is not authorized to be so. Is anyone here? Now, when the Lord asked that question, he is the absolute truth. You cannot lie to the absolute truth and get away with it. Mahaprabhu turned to Srivas. Is anybody here that is not supposed to be here? Srivas, very humble, he said, my Lord, there are no atheists. There is nobody attached to sense gratification. There's no faithless people. But there is one brahmachari who's a completely pure Brahmin. He loves you. He wants to see your dancing. He's so austere, he only drinks a little milk and eats a little fruit. I let him in. Lord Chaitanya became angry as fire. With a voice like thunder, he called out, get him out of here! Immediately! No one has the right to see my dancing unless they have pure devotion and they completely take shelter of me. It is not by performing austerities. It is not by being a highly qualified Brahmin that one has the right to see me. It is only by simple devotion. What austerities did Gajendra the elephant do? What austerities did Hanuman do? He was a monkey. What austerity did the gopis, the simple milkmaids of Braja, do? It is not by austerity. It is because Gajendra and Hanuman and the gopis took complete shelter of the Lord with humility and devotion. That is the only qualification to see me. Get that milk drinker out of here before I destroy everything. The brahmachari was listening. Now, be honest, if Lord Chaitanya was talking about you like that, what would you feel like? Well, the brahmachari was in ecstasy. He was thinking, the Lord is so kind that he sees right through my facade. He's chastising me because I sincerely deserve this chastisement. And I know that whatever chastisement the Lord is giving me is perfect. It's just what I need. He is so merciful. But still, I got to see him dance. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chastising him like thunderbolts, he stands up right in front of everybody from his hiding place and begins to walk outside. But in his heart, he was grateful for the chastisement. And the Lord, within the heart, understood that. Even though he's being blasphemed, he's being chastised, he's being criticized, because that brahmachari was grateful for it,
That was his qualification.
Lord Chaitanya called him back, placed his lotus feet on that brahmachari's head, and told him, it is only by humble, simple, devotional service that one can see me as I am.
Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidurjana gyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantapa.
Krishna tells, only by undivided devotional can I be understood as I am standing here before you. There's no other way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction. It's not by your being a Brahmin, it's not by your austerities, it's only because you have a grateful heart and you have taken shelter with humility. And then he was welcomed to be part of the kirtan of Srivasangam from that day on. A great message. So yes, Gajendra is an elephant. And elephants, as we are saying, they can do hard work, but they're not very intelligent. But because that elephant, but to speak Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he's an animal. He's not even a human. But anyone who cries out the name of the Lord sincerely, the Lord will save. Lord Ramchandra established this principle so emphatically in Sri Ramayana. Vibhishan was a Rakshasa by race. He was telling Ravana, give Sita back to Ram. Ram's the supreme personality of Godhead. Even though he was the brother of Ravana, living in Sri Lanka, surrounded by all these horrible creatures, he was a sincere devotee. And when Ravana, even though he was so compassionate, so loving, so kind, he loved Ravana. He hated the disease of Ravana's envy. And he was trying in every possible way to save his brother, to bring him to Krishna consciousness. But it's history that if you try to help somebody, people turn against you and try to destroy you. Jesus was crucified by the people he was trying to help. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces by the people he was trying, by the people he loved, he wanted to help. It's human history. So here we find, what story was I? Vibhishan. So Vibhishan was trying to help Ravana. And in return, Ravana threatened to kill him and banished him from his home, his family, his everything. Such harsh, horrible words. And Vibhishan left. And he went to take shelter of Ram. And Vibhishan was a really big Rakshasa. And he had the power to just fly over the ocean in seconds. Ramchandra built the bridge, which took a long time to build. Vibhishan just flew over with two of his associates. And he saw Sugriva and some of the other monkeys and said, I want to take shelter of Ram. And Sugriva was, he wanted to capture him and kill him, Ravana's brother. So they told Ram that Vibhishan is come to take shelter of you. He wants to meet you. And Sugriva says, in my opinion, we should capture him, we should beat him, we should kill him. We cannot trust him. And Ram asked everybody's opinion. Everybody was agreeing with Sugriva. How can you trust him? Even if he's so-called taking shelter now due to sentiment because he's angry at his brother, blood is very thick. He's a rakshasa. Ultimately, he's the brother of Ravana. When things come to that point, he's going to take sides with his brother and with his own race. Ram asked Hanuman, what is your opinion? Hanuman said, I saw his face. He looks sincere. We should accept him as our own family member. And Sugriva got really angry. He said, we can't take such chances. And then Ramchandra spoke. He said, if anyone even once says, my Lord, I am yours, with a sincere and faithful heart, I give my word before all of you today that I will protect that devotee. I will never leave that devotee. I will accept that devotee as my own. Even if Ravana himself came today and said, I am yours, I would accept him and give him all protection forever. That's all the Lord wants from us, is just to take shelter with a humble and sincere heart. Trinarapi suniche na taror iba sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began these all-night kirtans for 1 year at Srivas Angam, this was the method he told the devotees how they must chant. When we have that humility, that grateful tolerance, offering all respect to others, not expecting oneself, that is the spirit by which we can actually take shelter of the Lord. That's the meaning of surrender. On a superficial level, surrender means doing what you're told. But deep down, surrender means to have that type of humility, no ego. My Lord, I am yours. And whatever you send to me, ashlisya vapadatam panashtumam, you can trample on me, or you can embrace me, or you can make me brokenhearted. Whatever situation you put me in, my Lord, I am yours. And all I have is your holy name. This is the spirit of Gajendra. And this is the lesson of Srimad Bhagavatam. To welcome the adversities that come in our life and transform them into blessings.
by helping us to sincerely and intensely take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? Yes, one question, then we'll end.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you are speaking about pure devotional service. And you are mentioning that only three things that is required for pure devotional service is seriousness, sincerity, and no ulterior motive. We know that whenever we are going to get, at all we get a pure devotional service, that is going to be causeless. We don't have qualification, and we'll be getting a causeless pure devotional service. And although we might be getting pure devotional service, if at all, our anarthas and everything is going to remain, because it will be difficult to take it out by our own endeavor. So, if at all that anarthas are there, and the pure devotional service also, if Krishna has given it up, how to see to it that that pure devotional service Krishna doesn't take away from our life, although that anarthas are still there? Because if it goes away, again we'll be in miserable condition, which we are right now. So Maharaj, can you just tell us how to see that if at all we get that pure devotional service in our life by the causeless mercy of Krishna, that remains with us forever and doesn't go away from our life at any cost, so that we remain blissful in our Krishna consciousness?
Hare Krishna. If we are actually humble and grateful for the mercy of the Lord, then it will never be taken away. When we are ungrateful and we become proud, then Krishna covers the great benefits he has given us. Even the spiritual credits we have acquired in this life and possibly previous lives as well, if we are arrogant, ungrateful, Krishna will cover those great spiritual assets and those great spiritual qualities that we have. And push us down to a lowly, miserable condition ultimately, to purge that ego, so that with a genuinely humble heart like Gajendra, he had nowhere else to turn. Then all of his previous spiritual assets just manifested in full blossom, because he was in a totally humble position. So if we always remain in that spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant and are grateful for what Krishna gives us, no, Krishna will never take away the great assets of devotional service. Does that answer your question? But if we're proud, we make aparads. We make offenses. And when we make offenses, we no longer stand in Krishna's favor. And then he has to let material energy do its work, pulverize that ego that's causing us to make offenses. It's very painful. Therefore, Vaishnav Amani Namanadena is eager to respect others and does not expect respect for him or herself. Taror Ibasi Hishnana. What it means to be tolerant doesn't mean tolerant like a tree, doesn't mean simply that we just endure pain. It means we're grateful. We're grateful for the opportunity that this is giving me. And we turn to Krishna with a humble heart, begging, please protect me from offending Vaishnavas. Protect me from false ego. Let me forever please you. So just be in the mood of a servant and you'll always be protected. Does that answer your question? One more question. Yes. Here's a brahmachari. Drinks milk and eats fruit. I think all Radhesham Prabhu's brahmacharis only drink milk and eat fruit. But they also have very deep devotion and surrender. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. I just wanted to know, because many of your lectures consistently we heard, in that this point you make it very clear that Prabhupada says that devotional service, pure devotional service is very rare. But if you are sincere, serious, and no ulterior motive, then you can achieve the mercy of the Lord. So I wanted a little elaboration on this, because this many a times you have emphasized. So sincerity, what it means, how it is different from seriousness. Basically, these two terms, I wanted to know a little more so that we can try to follow.
You are becoming very technical. We should not have a separate agenda. We should serve the Vaishnavas to please the Vaishnavas. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navitam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktarutama. We should render favorable devotional service without the desire for material acquisition, elevation to higher planets, without even the desire for liberation. We should be performing our service simply because we want to please Krishna. We want to please Guru. We want to please the Vaishnavas. We want to uplift the conditioned souls. And we should not give up despite impediments. There are many qualities, many classes can be given on what sincerity means. But one is we don't give up. A sincere person maintains their integrity and their good character no matter what. There may be temptations. There may be fears and aversions. But we maintain the proper character of a devotee. We maintain our regulative principles, our morality. We maintain our humility and our service attitude. Our fidelity to Guru and to Krishna, despite temptations and many alternatives that are being put before us. That is sincerity. Despite
the frivolous nature of the mind. We follow the path of bhakti and live by proper character. That is sincerity. And if we're just sincere to try the very best we can, Krishna will be there to help us. If we take credit for anything, that's insincerity. We just try our best to do the right thing and give all credit to Krishna. Depend on Krishna. When Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, he was praying so far from Vrindavan, such an impossible mission. I'm completely depending on your mercy. He's praying to Guru and Krishna. Following in those footsteps, we have to execute our mission of Krishna consciousness completely depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That is sincerity. That is seriousness. And that is to be without ulterior motives. It's very simple. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.